Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Isn't there a hymn that goes, tell them over to me again, wonderful words of life, something that goes along? Sing them over to me again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of your beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Okay. We have some wonderful words of life here in Proverbs 3. Wonderful words of life, Christopher and Jared and Megan Downing. We have wonderful words of life for you guys. Can you imagine that? Wonderful words of life for Luke and Caleb. Wonderful words of life for Philip and for Lydia. Wonderful words of life for John Sheehy, Christy, and Catherine. Wonderful words of life for Martin Maciel, for older people too. And so we want to look at these that are in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's pray and then we'll read the scriptures. Our Father, we thank you that our confidence and our hope, our rest, our joy, our portion are you, our God. Lord, there are so many things that just take us away, so many things that would look many times to us more beautiful and more worthy, we confess, than really you. Lord, so many other things often we desire than the best things. And so we are grateful when we can gather together and be reminded of the best things, that we can have our minds directed in the right way. We thank you for your word, which is a perfect compass for our souls. We thank you for its pure and blessed light that directs our steps, shows us how we may keep our ways pure, and Lord, how we may please you and how we may know you. So we thank you for your treasure and your gift that you've given to us, your word. We are grateful for it. We are grateful for the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to understand your truth. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to speak faithfully and every one of us to hear and to heed and take these things to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to these wonderful words of life that are in Proverbs 1 through 12. They're pretty simple, but they're pretty profound at the same time. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. These are wonderful words of life. These are words for a wonderful life, actually. These are words, and when I say a wonderful life, I mean a life that is well lived and well pleasing to God. That's the kind of life I'm talking about, a well lived life, the life that pleases God. And without really detracting from the rest of the Proverbs, and because there's a lot there, there's 31 chapters, it seems to me that these words, if we just took these words, these 12 verses in chapter 3, and took them to heart, they are enough. Just these 12 verses would be enough to equip you and would be sufficient for a well-lived and well-pleasing life. It's amazing that God could take all of that, all of His knowledge, and really kind of give us what we need to know in 12 verses. I mean, He gives us more, but this is really seems to me that it would be enough. If all the holy wisdom of God was just kind of put into a little catalog, or maybe a little tract, I would say that it's probably Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. So it's very condensed and very helpful wisdom for a wonderful life. And you say, well, what makes it so wonderful? Well, look at the words. Look at all the promises that just come out here. Would you like length of days? What's a length of day? A length of day, if you would talk nowadays, is a long life. Would you like a long life? Would you like it not to be cut short? Would you like peace? And when you think of peace in the scriptures, it's not just simply that nobody's knocking at the door or you don't get any late phone calls. It's not that kind of peace. It's kind of the peace of well-being. It's just blessedness. And so it's talking about here some things that bring a long life, bring blessedness. Notice what else is found and promised here. There's all kinds of things. But it says you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of men. Men will have regard for you. God will have regard for you. That's a wonderful life. When God is well pleased with you and men hold you in esteem. It has some other promises here. It promises straight paths. What that means is they're not crooked. They're not straying here and there. They're good. They're direct. They're smooth. They're right paths. That's something else that's promised here. There's something else that's promised here. It's using all this kind of language, but it says there's going to be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. In a sense, there's kind of a vitality. There's kind of a strength. There's kind of a health in these words as well. And he goes on. He talks about our barns being filled up with plenty. He's talking about our vats overflowing with new wine. That there's this whole idea of an abundance. And so as you look at this, these 12 verses, there is all kinds of blessing, and it's just put in there like the mortar between all of the bricks of what he calls us to, and it just kind of leaks out. This is a very well-lived life. It promises, and really probably in the only way that maybe the Old Testament can, of a life that is full of blessing, it takes everything that was considered to be blessed. The wealth and health, long life, peace, esteem with men, abundance, all of those things. And it says, in a sense, you set your ways here, and this is the blessing. There are promises here. Not promises, again, that basically we can name and claim, but they are the promises, the blessings of God that we shall find in the way of walking in a manner that pleases God. There's fullness of days, fullness of favor, fullness of guidance, fullness of strength, fullness of provision, fullness of assurance. There's all fullness in these verses. These are words for a well-ordered, well-lived life. If I would put a title to them for myself, it would be this: Things I Wish I Would Have Learned When I Was Young, But I'm Not. These are things now that I have to still learn now that I'm old. But you learn them. You kind of tack them onto your brain. You write them on the tablets of your heart. These are very good things to kind of keep in mind. And so I want you to learn them now. Someone said that this is the full richness of a life of faith is here. And so I'm going to give you six counsels. There's 12 verses. And 6 goes into 12 two times, and so each counsel just takes up two verses. Verses 1 and 2 is the first counsel. Verses 3 and 4 is the second counsel. Every two verses you have counsel to follow. And so there are 6 of them. You could break it up all kinds of ways, but I'm just going to keep it simple this way as we look at it. And here they come. Caleb, are you ready? I'm going to try to make it clear. Counsel number 1. John. Calvin Slagboom, counsel number 1. Okay. Here's what it concerns. Here's what it deals with. It deals with your parents. Yeah, sorry. You just knew it. If a pastor's going to preach, some way he's got to get your parents into it, doesn't he? I don't have to. I just go to the Proverbs and your parents are there. Okay. Counsel number 1, respecting parents. Okay, God is speaking to us. About you guys want good life, you want long life, you want healthy life, you want abundant life, you want a blessed life. Okay, listen to counsel number 1. Here it is. Mind your parents. Mind your parents. Honor your parents. Is that anything new? You guys can remember that. Mom and Dad are always reminding you of that. What the Proverbs says is when they remind you of that, don't forget it. It says, don't forget my teaching, son. And it's funny, you know what the word teaching here is? It's law. Don't forget my law. Listen, your parents lay down the law. And you ought to regard it as law. You ought to regard it here as my commandments, your commandments. Your parents' instructions ought to be the law of your heart and the commandments of your life. Okay? Law and commandments. Would you obey the law if the police officer said, don't cross the street in the middle, but wait till you get to the crosswalk? Yeah, you'll listen to the laws of the land. Listen to the laws of your parents. That's what it's saying here. You say, that is hard. You know what? It's harder if you don't. Your life is really going to be hard if you don't. The scripture warns us about that. It says, the eye that mocks the father, you know, kind of just says, nah, I'm done listening to you. And it says, the eye that despises to obey the mother, it says, let the ravens of the valley pluck out that eye. Some people don't like violence, but the scripture just says, listen, if you don't obey your parents, if you don't regard your parents, if you mock them, if you despise them, if you look down upon them, if you don't give them a proper regard, then, the best thing that could happen to you is some gnarly meat-eating bird come and just pick your eyes out and then let the eagles eat it. That's what the scripture thinks about that kind of thing. You need to be willful doers of what they say. It says, don't forget. It's not talking about, it's talking about a willful forgetfulness. It's talking about letting what your mom and dad say go in one ear and out the other ear. In other words, if you're going to be wise, listen to them. Obey them. Do what they tell you to do. Don't think you're listening to God if you're not listening to mom and dad. Don't think God is pleased if you don't listen to them. Now that seems obvious, but that's the first counsel. Don't forget that. Okay? It's very important. In fact, this is the first thing that he mentions. In this good counsel, the very first thing is this. Listen to them, heed them, mind them, take to heart what they say. Take to heart what they say. Daily, hearty obedience. Remember what said of Jesus? When Jesus was a boy, about 12 years old in Luke chapter 2, it says this in honor of him. It says that he continued in subjection. He obeyed Joseph and Mary, his parents. Okay? You may not think your parents are very smart. I hope you do. Okay, you do. Okay, that's good. Okay, good. Nod your heads because your folks are right there watching you. Go up and down. Okay, now, I will tell you, Jesus Christ was way smarter than Mary and Joseph. He was far more holy. He had no sin in him. Mary and Joseph had a lot of sin. They had a lot of ignorance. Christ had no ignorance, no sin, no defilement. And that holy, righteous, smart, mighty son submitted to his earthly parents. The scripture says that in terms of commending him. This was his wisdom and righteousness. In fact, you've heard this before, haven't you, in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you don't obey them, then what? It is wrong. How simple that is. Okay? But listen, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, when you do that, it says, this is the first commandment. Here's the first commandment. It says, it's the first commandment with a promise. And what is the promise of that first commandment if you obey and listen and heed your mom and dad? It says this, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, isn't that amazing? That's exactly what the Proverbs writer says. You will have length of days and you will have peace. It will be well with you and you'll live long. Obey them. That's the first counsel. Did you get that down, Caleb? Counsel to parents, mind my mom and my dad. Okay. Anything new so far? Not hard. Okay, second. Second counsel. This concerns your person. This concerns your person. I'm just going to say it this way. It concerns your person. This is verses 3 and 4. This is this. Treasure a holy character. Okay, I'm going to tell you what that holy character, treasure a holy character. Notice what it says. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. If there's something that you're going to hold on to, if there's something that's going to mark your life, then let it be a holy character that's marked by kindness and truth. If there's something that ought, if someone thinks of you kids, and if someone thinks of us as people, let it be that the thing they think about us is that we are kind and truthful. That's what is never to leave us. That is what is to mark us. And notice the way they say it. Bind it around your neck. Look at my tie. See, if I just wore a white shirt, it wouldn't look very nice, but this kind of fixes it up a little bit, doesn't it? The white shirt, if you tie something around your neck, and in a sense, let something, you know, your lives are kind of plain. Let them be marked. Let them be adorned. Let them appear lovely, a little bit better, see, with kindness and truth. Okay? It means don't be mean. It means don't be a liar. It means don't be grumbly, complainy. Kindness is different. Kindness is gentleness. You know, kindness is being kind. My little grandson, Toby, is learning that. That's one of his little mottos right now. It's be kind. Now, that's because his mama is teaching him a good lesson. Be kind. Now, when he says it, it's when somebody takes his toys away. That's when I first heard him say that. They took his little toy away and he said, be kind. Now, because it's not kind to take people's things away. Kindness is really someone where you kind of, you're helpful, you're generous, you're gracious to that person. A kind person, be kind. So if I can just say it as I say to Toby, be kind. And think about that in your life. And be truthful. Tell the truth. Don't ever let that leave you, you see. That's to be the ornament. He says, and put it in your heart too. In other words, it's not just simply you kind of look like you're kind in telling the truth. But you really do love kindness and you really do love the truth. Love the truth and love being kind. Love kindness. That's what Micah 6:8 says. What does God expect of you? What does God require of you, O man? That you would love justice, that you would do justice, and that you would love kindness, that you would love compassion, that you would love being, as Bill Haggerty said to me today, be nice. He said that to me. Be nice. Be nice. Be truthful. It makes you lovely. It's what Jesus is, isn't he? Isn't Jesus kind? Isn't Jesus full of truth? Isn't that why people just loved him? It's because that was what marked him. That was his whole character of life. He was kind and he was full of truth. In fact, it said that he increased in stature and wisdom among men. So be kind. Be truthful. That's a holy character. Third counsel. Counsel number three, Caleb. Counsel number three. This concerns your path. The path you take or the plans that you have. Okay. Now I hope you big folks are taking these things in too. Because they apply to all of us. And here's the next thing. Trust in the Lord. That's the next counsel. Trust in the Lord. This text is so incredibly excellent and so incredibly practical that I know that this text is a text really for all of life. It's the best text for life. Zachary, your father knows this text is a very good text for life. Don't you, Dad? I mean, it's one of those texts that is helpful to him. Some of you know this is a very excellent text, and we got to keep learning this one, even as old folks. Learn this one early. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Listen, trust your life to God. Trust that he is wise. Trust that he is good. Trust that he knows what he is doing with you and commit your ways to him. Everything that you do, trust in him. Look to him. What what would be his pleasure? What would he desire for you to do? What is the, and how should I live before my mom and dad? How should I treat my brother and sister? How should I act? And it's all in his word, and we have to trust him when he tells us what to do. And when we trust him, we follow what he says, and then we follow what he says no matter what happens or what we might expect to happen. We just simply trust him. We just simply say, what you tell me to do, I will do, and I won't worry about the consequences. I won't worry about what is going to happen. Well, if I do it this way, maybe they won't like me. If I do it this way, maybe I won't get that job. If I do it this way, then all of my hopes are gone. And basically, if it's the Lord's way, do it the Lord's way, and that means to trust him. Trust his wisdom, trust his kindness. Be faithful in what he says and trust him to work it all out. That seems so simple, but it is so hard to do in life. Commit your way to the Lord, no matter what. In all your ways, it says, acknowledge him. Submit all the decisions of your life to him. It was said of David that he always when it talks about him in his early days before he became king, it said he was inquiring of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. What was David doing? He was trying to discern what the Lord's pleasure and will was in his life. And sometimes maybe he didn't get the audible answers that he was looking for. Many times you won't get the audible answers that you're looking for, but send them up. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me. I don't know exactly what I need to do with regard to this situation. Just help me to know what I need to do now. Let me be faithful now. I submit it all to you. Trust in him. And the promise is he'll direct your steps. He will work it all out. You can't work it out. You can't fix it. You can't manipulate it. You can't force it. Folks, big folks, you can't do that. You can't be forced by circumstances out of faithfulness, and you can't try to force circumstances. Get out of that. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him. Just say, what is the path of faithfulness? I've got decisions to make. I've got things to do, but let me, with the light that I have, the instruction that I have, let me just be faithful. And that will be enough. Acknowledge him. I need your help. And he will direct your steps. And you say, but I want to know now. Trusting the Lord many times is just waiting. Trusting the Lord is just taking those steps, step by step. Not having the lights that look all the way down the path, but just simply saying, I can just see just enough to take the next step and let that be enough. The Lord knows where you're going and he knows where he wants you to go. Don't worry about all those things that you really don't have any control over. Trust in the Lord, and he will direct your steps. You've got to be the Lord's. You've got to be his. You've got to trust in his Son. You've got to commit yourself to him who will care for you and guide you. And he will direct you. He will help you in the days to come. Fourth. Counsel number four, and this is concerning your practice, concerning what you do, kind of concerning what you do, concerning your practice. Let me just say it simply: fear the Lord. Notice verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Do you want to be healthy? Because that's what he promises. If you do this, you're going to have bones that are fresh. You're going to be invigorated. You're going to have vitality. Well, how can I get vitality in life? He says this: don't think you know it all. Don't be a wise guy. Don't think you have all the answers. Don't think you can't learn anything from anybody else. And let me tell you, kids, this is the great sin of youth. And this is the sin of youth from little tininess to older youthfulness. It's thinking that I know things better than anybody else. Don't be that way. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know it all. The best know-it-all in history was Solomon. And basically when it came to leading the people of God, he says, I don't know it all. God, will you give me your wisdom? He was humble. He knew he didn't have what he needed. No, you don't know. You don't know. As you ought really to know. Know that and you'll be wise. Know that you need wisdom. Know that you lack it. Know that you don't have the answers. And that will be your wisdom. That will be the best wisdom. You'll be on the right path. And I think the wisdom here that it speaks about is not just simply wisdom of facts. Many of you can score really good on SATs or whatever it might be. Whatever an SAT is. Some of you don't even know, and you're fortunate right now. Okay. Some of you are going to have those things. They're awful. Okay. But that's not what's important. The knowledge here, the wisdom here of what it is, the wisdom of what is right and wrong. Don't be wise in your own eyes that you know what is right and wrong. In other words, let God be the one who tells you what is right and wrong. Trust His judgment about the things that are right and wrong. He knows. There is a way that seems right to a man, says the Proverbs, but the end of it is what? Death! I think I know! And God says, yeah, you think you know, but you know where it goes? It goes to death. It goes to ruin. Trust me. No, don't think you're wise. Look to my wisdom. In fact, notice right in the center of it, it says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That's right at the center. And what does that mean? It means this. Know that you're just a creature. Know that you don't have a mind like He does. Know that He is mighty, He is wise, He is good. He orders all things. To fear the Lord is to recognize who you are and to recognize who He is. To recognize that He knows what is right and wrong, and to realize that He judges for right and wrong, and say, listen, what I need to do is have His mind, not mine, about what is right and wrong. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And it means to know that if I do wrong, He is interested in that, and to know that He is displeased with that. The Lord is interested, and the Lord judges. That's the fear of the Lord here. And then he says, listen, and if you do that, you'll turn away from evil. Don't have anything to do with evil. Listen, don't want to play with it. Don't want to toy with it. The fool, it says, sees sin and walks right into it. That's the fool. That's the spiritual moron. But it says the wise man fears the Lord and he hates evil. He doesn't want to get near it. He doesn't want to play with it. He doesn't want to smell it. He doesn't want to taste it. He doesn't want to touch it. He basically has a holy dread of it and he detests it. That's wisdom. If you don't detest evil, if you don't hate evil, then you're walking very close to being a fool. This is the way that you live a wise life. You hate evil because you fear the Lord. And you know you're not wise in your own eyes. Well, let's look at the fifth counsel. The fifth counsel, number five. And this concerns your things. Your possessions. The things that you have. Notice, and you guys will say, how does this ever apply to me as a kid? It says, honor the Lord from your wealth. And you say, I get 50 cents every 2 weeks. And is that wealth? I mean, from the first of your produce, I don't even have a little garden. I did a little bean experiment. That's all I've got. But what's it saying? I mean, obviously, it's not the little bean experiment. It's not looking at your lousy allowance or whatever it may be. It's just simply talking about possessions. And it's saying this, and let me just say it very simply. Put the Lord above everything that you own. Prize the Lord above everything that you can put your hands on. There may be some kind of reference here to the Old Testament practice of giving the first fruits to the Lord, giving your best fruit, the first produce to the Lord, but it doesn't really kind of stick there too much. When it says honor the Lord, You've got to understand what that word means. It's kind of an interesting word. It means to make the Lord heavy. Back in those days, if something was heavy, it was valuable. Remember how they would take things to the scale? And the way that you judge the value of something was how much it tipped the scales. And so if something had a lot of weight, it had a lot of worth. And what God is doing here, He says, give me weight with your wealth. Let me be heavier than your silver, your gold, your bicycle, your watch, your doll, your whatever it may be, all those different things that you can have. Let me be heavier than anything else that you possess. Give me the value. Value me above all your valuables. Folks, that's what it's saying to us. That's the life. It's just basically saying, listen, you are more important than anything else, Lord. You are heavier than anything my hands can lay hold of. Everything comes from you. Everything belongs to you. And everything I have is at your disposal. Lord, I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to share. Share. That's another word that Toby's learning. And again, it's not so much that he's telling us. It's when somebody takes it away from him again. Share. 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 Well, that means I'm not hanging on to these things. Why? Because, listen, I can give up all the things that I possess because if I am in Jesus Christ and I love the Lord, trusting the Lord, I have Him. And that is better than anything else. Prize Him above everything else. In fact, the Lord Himself says, seek God, seek me, seek the kingdom more than any of these other things. Make me first and what? I'll see that your allowance is increased. I'll see that the things that you need will be added to you. You won't lack. You really won't lack. The Lord will not be outgiven. You can't outgive God. God says in Luke 6, give and it will be given to you. God says to the about the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, about the Macedonians, out of their poverty and joy they gave, and yet they were able to give. And He says God is able to give and able to give you the ability to give if you're willing just to give. He will pour it into your lap beyond measure. It's because the Lord is your priority. You have a better portion. Everything else is secondary. And so that's what it's saying. Listen, the Lord is more valuable than your Walkman, your iPod, whatever it may be. I don't know what kids have nowadays. What are those crazy Lego stuff, guys? What? Magnetics and Luke, what are they? Biotechnic kinds of thing? Bionicles, yeah. I mean, he's better than your bionicle. I mean, all we had was Pretty Pony when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a dad. Yeah, because I didn't play with Pretty Pony. But there is there's this tendency, listen, the Lord is my portion. The Lord. And so I can, my hands don't have to be holding hard onto things. And what He really just says is kind of just live your life to show that He is the most precious possession you have. Live your life with your possessions so that it's manifest to everybody else that you know that the abundance of your life does not consist in what you have, but the Lord Himself who has you. Okay. Finally, counsel number 6. Counsel number 6, and I just call this with regard to your problems. With regard to your problems. Life is not always easy, and sometimes it's not always easy because you got to get disciplined. You got to go to the woodshed. You got to get spanked. You got to get disciplined. Ouch. Okay. Well, look. Look. Verses 11 and 12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. Or loathe, you know, despise, ooh, I don't like, it's icky, his reproof. Why? Because when the Lord takes you to the woodshed, when the Lord deals with you, and maybe in ways that seem like they're kind of hard and difficult, and it seems like it's painful, and this isn't the way I wanted it to turn out, then there's something you need to remember if you belong to the Lord. The reason that is happening is because He loves you. Because He's like a father toward you. He owns you, and He is dealing with you as your own father will deal with you. He's reminding you, but you belong to Him. Because if you didn't belong to Him, He'd let you do what you wanted to do. And so what I'm saying here in this counsel number 6 is this. Yield to the Lord's hand. Yield to the Lord's hand. When He swats you, take it. When He reproves you, receive it. Yield to it. If you begin to learn things from the hand of God, then respond to those things. Don't become resistant and hard, because many times He's going to do that to wake you up, to stir you up. Many times He's going to try to turn you back from a way that's going the wrong way. Don't be surprised if the Lord comes sometimes with a hard hand on you, because your parents may not see what you're doing, but the Lord always does. And He may bring you up short for your own good. He may be doing this to take a bad attitude out of your mind or cause you to be more humble and not so smart that you think you know it all. Maybe more trusting in Him and maybe more willing to follow Him. But He's doing all of that to make you better. So don't get bitter. He's trying to make you better in everything that He does. The Lord is going to take pains with you. And He's going to maybe even bring you pains to make you beautiful in holiness and abundant in happiness. He will deal with us that way. Know that. Expect that. He's doing that out of love. Trust in the Lord. So that's my counsel. That's my counsel. It'll take the rest of your life to learn it. But take it to heart now. Take it to heart now. This is very, very clear and simple counsel. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your wisdom and Your counsel, Your goodness. Father, I pray that You will help us to be a wise people, that the young people here would be wise, that they would seek Him first who is all wisdom, He who is all grace, He who is all kindness, He who is truth, even Jesus Christ. That, Lord, that their wisdom would be first to know that they need a Savior, and that they would run to Jesus, that they would believe in Jesus. Oh, Father, that they would confess their sins to Jesus. Lord, that they would be confident that Jesus would forgive them. And that, Lord, You would give them a new heart and a new desire. And that when they hear these words and read these words and saw in Proverbs 3, that they would embrace them and that they would begin to grow in their understanding of them. Lord, I pray for us older people that You will help us to embrace them. Help us to understand them better, even as we have lived through life, to see how practical and pertinent and plain they are. Oh, Father, we need to learn these lessons. Oh, Father, I pray that You will enable us to live the wonderful life because we have submitted to Your truth and we have listened to Your word. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.